Thanks, Reverend Kate, for the dedication and preparation for this wonderful worship service we have this morning. Before I proceed, I'm going to ask those who are able to stand with me. We're going to have a word of prayer, prayer for peace, love, and understanding of one another. Will you stand with me? And since we're able to sing Kiswahili in Mbwana Habaliki, I think I'll just be able to preach in Kiswahili. Will you understand?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll say. Kama nkwebaza kubanga tuze encha ya leero, tuli ba mukisa nti tuli omuntu omu, nenge kigendererwa kwe kubeera abantu ab'enjawulo. This morning we gather in the oneness of humanity, realizing the differences we have, but at the same time we know that we are one. In peace, in love, in acceptance of one another, and reconciliation, we have gathered. And we can say, Amen.
Amen.
And you may be seated. It's also another moment of truth for me to be able to stand here this morning and be a testimony of our faith, the Unitarian Universalist faith. Yes, I'm going to talk also to you, my friend. There's no problem about it. Only if I know the language you speak. several people also have been able to go to their social gathering this morning. Probably others went to the Roman Catholic Church. Others went to the mosque on Friday. And several people are gathering differently. But they have a mission to why they do so. And for me, if you see me standing here, more or less like them as well, I'm here just to be a testimony of what I believe in and what actually I value to be my inspiration, spiritually and physical as well. And that is the Unitarian faith. I'm supposed to be speaking about unity and diversity in the 21st century. But before I will be able to speak about that, I think it's always very important to read the book when you know the author. Is it? Yeah. So my name is Reverend Mark Kiyimba, and I'm a Unitarian minister from Uganda. Just in case you didn't know where Uganda is in Africa. And we are in the East Africa at the same time. So that's where you find me. Our church is based in the city, which is Kampala. And given today, if people have to sit like you do, on given Sunday, we sit more than 80 people. We've been operating since 2006. However, originally, myself, I was an evangelical. You can call them charismatic or Pentecostal preacher. I do call them the clapping people. Because whenever they meet, there is dancing and clapping. But also, I went to church when I was young, like the ones who came here earlier. My mother took me to church, and it was the Roman Catholic Church then. And then also, my mother took me to school. And when I finished with my high school and joined university, I finished by graduating with a BA Science, and my major was in electrical engineering. That way, before then, I was also going to a church when I was about 20 years, 22, 23, because I left the village where I grew up and then I came to the city. That's where the university was. At that time, there was only two universities in the whole of the country. And coming to this university, that's where some of my friends, also we are students at the same time, asked me if it would be very good. I could visit their church they were going to. And this was the charismatic church I spoke about, the Pentecostal. It was called the United Apostolic Church of Uganda. So I thought the people were nice, clapping and dancing and singing. I said, okay, maybe let me consider leaving my mother's church to be a little bit comfortable here. So things went on and on, and eventually when I finished my studies, I was even requested to do ministry as a lay pastor, and my churches were in education. Our church was bigger, having several things going on. So eventually also I was requested to, if possible, I should go and join the seminary so I could join the bench of the clergy. After 2.5 years of my seminary, I came back, I was ordained, and then eventually I was given the license to preach. So that was in 1998. So fully beginning ministry as an ordained and licensed minister was in 1999. So I preached. The turning point to be who I am now, it all began in 2004. Many reasons, but most importantly, is that the church wasn't willing, even though we were in this dispensation of the 21st century, to be able to make a transition to realize the unity and diversity we have. You hear what I'm saying? So questions came, especially my church wasn't allowing to ordain women. Kate, you are lucky you are here. You wouldn't get an ordination over there in my church. And at the same time also, my church was a little bit, if not so conservative that you can ever imagine. Women couldn't be allowed to come on a worship like on Sunday in pants like you do. Women were not allowed to wear jewelry. Like you go to a church, but at the same time, you become a slave of that very church you are going to. Yet you thought you're going to be liberated. So I was raised up by a single mother. And my mother, she's a widow, 75 years now. And I'm the last born of 10 children. Wow. That's courage. my church not allowing women wasn't making an equation to this woman who raised me. Because she was more able to just be like any other man, being able to find food for us and taking us to school. So when the women were being put down or being considered as a second class, it wasn't something nice. For me, I know women are able and more than able. When I saw them being not allowed to be ordained, even just to come and do simple ministry to equal like anyone else, it wasn't allowed because the church was very clear that if a woman wants to ask or understand something in the church, he or she should wait and ask the husband at home. You know the things, some of you who are there. So I said, okay. But as years went by, I was doing ministry in the city. Also, other questions came up. You know, we were in this dispensation of the 21st century. A lot of societies are now being shaped differently. That's not the way society we are being shaped in the 19th century. No. Many things are coming up, even which we didn't know, which we're just experiencing, and you say, this is not the way things were used to be. But if you see them, you want to learn, to embrace, or to give it a thought. So many people used to come to my church, and of the many were 11 calling in, and some people stepped in for counseling. And their desire was one. They wanted to know, how do I teach? Because I used to go to the television and preach, tell everybody to go to Jesus. And I don't know where Jesus is, but I used to tell them to go there. So they used to come and ask me, but what do you preach about sex and sexuality in respect to homosexuality and your Bible? Frankly, the only thing I knew about the Bible and the homosexuality is that homosexuality is a sin. If not a sin, it's a curse. So you have to come, I pray for you, so you can be delivered. So for over 10 years, that's what I knew and that's what I preached. But as I tell you, frankly, 11 people knocked the door of my office. And I desired to understand more because it was something new to me. I never expected that somebody would even question me as a pastor, a holy pastor, you know, on issues concerning homosexuality, because that's how I took myself. But eventually I said I need to give it a point so I can learn a little bit more. The church editors, they didn't have an answer. When I pressed for them to give me some more information, They told me, Mark, you came in the first time with women issues. And now you are coming with issues of homosexuality. We're going to fire you. I was a little bit young. I only have 38 years even by now. So 10 years ago. So I didn't know much. So I said, probably they are right. But then I said, I need to ask some other pastors in the area. Every pastor I asked, everyone told me, that's wrong. You need to pray for those people to be delivered out of their homosexuality. If not, if he's a member of the church, must leave. So having really filled with compassion, because some of those people, I knew them. They were nice people. They were sons and daughters of people. I never met their parents, but I knew that they are good people by virtue of my conviction. So I said, I need to give it a point to study. And I didn't wait for my church to send me off. I requested for a study leave, and I went to study in the University of Amsterdam in the Netherlands. And I changed my studies from electrical and Bible to do humanities and social sciences. Because basically I wanted to know, who are human beings? Why is somebody carrying a color of black and another one is carrying the color of white? Why are some people are men and other people are women? You know, to understand them from a context of understanding, not just talking about it. And in our course, there was a very good comprehensive study about sex, sexuality, and the society. So all these issues came up when I was doing my course of humanities and social sciences at the University of Amsterdam. And I want to tell you frankly, by the time I left, I had already known and convinced that people are people. You hear me? So you don't have to have much definition. You don't have to have much questions. If somebody confronts you and say, I am of this sexual orientation, I'm a transgender man or a woman, what you have to understand is that that's the way people are. There are still so many questions. There are still going to be even many, many, many questions on concerning humanity and how we are shaped, especially in the 21st century. But what we have to do is, one, is to understand the diversity we have, but that diversity is going to be within the unity. It's not going to be an opportunity to separate us. It is just to know the differences we have, but we remain in the unity. You hear me? You know, that's why we had to have this reading from the 2 Corinthians and chapter 2 and verses 12 to 20. Because even in a couple of years ago, when Paul was he was there at that time, like the preacher of today, like me, like Kate and other people preaching the gospel of unity. But that was at that time. We are trying to make it a transition to be a living Bible to us. The problem of that church wasn't about the issues we are facing today. No. For them, they were in the Corinthian. They were facing a problem of slaves and the free. The problem was all about the Jews and the Gentiles. So when Paul realized, he said, let me write to these people and I tell them, they are black, they are Jews and Gentiles, they are slaves and free, but we all drink to one spirit. To that, the problem of the church, if you want to use the same text, is not all about Jews and the Gentiles. It's not all about the slaves and the free. The problem today is all about race, black and white. You understand? The problem of today is not slavery, because even in America where it was abolished many years ago. But the problem of today is all about gay and lesbians, transgender and queer. Are they allowed in our society? Some people say, no, stone them to death. Other people say whatever they have to say. So those are the issues that are affecting us. But my message this morning is not that we can't recognize that. It's that we should come to accept that within our diversity, we can still embrace the unity. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's what we desire. In Uganda, where I am, I am faced with the same problem. The problem is the church is not even willing to move a step to realize that homosexuality is part of human nature. You don't have to be a gay man to realize that he's a gay man. You don't have to be a woman to realize that he's a man. No, you only have to know that I am black, but not everybody is going to be black. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, you know, being troubled with this, I was even disappointed. In 2009, people from a country that I expected to have advancement is when we experienced evangelical pastors from America going to Uganda and start preaching against homosexuality. Did you hear about that?
Yes.
We don't need anybody to come and tell us who to love and who to hate. I think people know that it's more easier to spread love than hate. It's easy for me. I've been with Bob in his house. I've been so much loved. I think that is the easiest way to bring people together in this dispensation. And one of the people who came to Uganda is in Orange County, in California here. Rick Warren was one of those people. So I think we can make a transition. We forget those differences that divided us before. In 2009 and 2008, the people of America, you made something, you did something which was unimaginable. Should it have been, let's say, 40 years ago, even 60 years ago, it wouldn't have been imagined that you can make a transition and be able to overwhelmingly vote a black person to go into White House. If you are able to do that, what is so difficult for the parent to accept their sons and daughters when they come out to them and say, I'm gay? Is it so difficult? I know you. That's not your experience. You have four children, let's say. I mean, you have five, and the first four ones are all straight. Now you're being faced with the fifth one. You're going to say, oh, maybe this is not for my family to have a gay son or a gay daughter, having had the first four being straight. Listen to him or her, trying to understand. Don't demonize, don't abuse, don't chase him away or her. Eventually, you will realize that it is the same son, is the same daughter who is yours. That's how I do it in my country. I want to learn from people. They have a lot to teach me in the same way as I have a lot to teach them. I respect everyone. I love everyone no matter who you are. And that's what our church also stands for, those values. Black or white, rich or poor. For the first time since 2006, our church has been open-minded to allow LGBT to come in and flee. We have been organizing Standing on the Side of Love since 2010 to stand on the side of love for the LGBT people. Even when they were being faced with a law, a bill that was introduced in the Ugandan parliament, which was intended to terminate the gay people from the society. The church stood, I stood up, and I gathered more than 200 gay men and women. And they came together, we fought this bill. Did you know about that bill?
Yes.
And I tell you frankly, with the heart we had for compassion to everyone, standing in, we were afraid. We even didn't know what was going to happen to us in the middle of the city. But we wanted to proclaim liberty and freedom for everyone, because it's all about justice, that people can be free with themselves. We were able to win. The anti-homosexuality bill was not passed in the Ugandan parliament. Is that good news?
Yes.
Yeah. I may be able to speak a lot. I may be able to tell you much more. But we have a saying that what wise is enough. And I suppose that this is a good conversation we have been able to have this morning. I know we are still having a long way to go. I remember one day I was visiting the country of South Africa. You know, it's the only country in Africa that has been able to come very closely and openly to allow gay people even to have a same-sex union, right before you even thought of it in America. But still, some people don't understand this. I remember I was there and I was working with the Human Rights Commission as an intern, because there are issues we're having working in Uganda, and I came in for 3 months. And I was looking at the television and I saw this preacher who was like me when I was an evangelical preacher, and she was a lady, and she she was answering these questions of controversy on gay issues. And she said the reason why she rejected gay people is because the Bible says that in the beginning, God created a man and a woman. So I had an opportunity to call in and I said to her, yes, that's very true. In the beginning, God created man and a woman. But what happened after the beginning? You understand? So if you're going to get stuck to the only the beginning, you're going to miss what happens thereafter. If you are going to understand Mark when I was little, I made a transition, my friend. Some of the men I see now who are standing up for equality in this country is Bill Clinton. But some time back, I think he was one of the men who signed Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Are you going to judge him according to that time? No, you make a mistake. He has made a transition. Now he understands things the way they are. I was last year, I also visited this country, and I went to support. They invited me to go to support the Maryland people in Baltimore. They were yet to pass to vote on marriage equality. And I was in this radio station speaking, and one of the callers who, in our understanding, he must have been an African black man from anywhere in Africa, but that's what I understood. He said to me that it's a shame that somebody like me from Uganda, Africa, I could be able to support homosexuality. And I will be able to support even same-sex marriage. And I said to him, I don't support it. That's the way it is. He told me that I must know that the traditional marriage is between a man and a woman. And I told him, that's true. That's the traditional, you know. But there are still many other traditions as well. Mm-hmm. For example, in Uganda, we don't drive on the right-hand side. Our tradition of driving is on the left-hand side. So if you're just going to know one tradition and you think that everybody is going to do the same way, you miss it. Because of the tradition of America driving on the right, I am not allowed to drive in this country. No way. I can't drive. I don't know how to do it, but I honor those who drive on the right-hand side. I don't say it's a mistake. No, I say, okay, that's the way they do it. You understand? So therefore, we have to understand these things just the way they happen to us, and we have to value them just exactly the way they are, not trying to understand them the way we knew. There has been a lot of misunderstanding, people using the Bible and the other books, which those would have been very nice books, but the way they use them, it's what amazes me. As a Bible scholar, somebody who took time to go and study the Bible, I find it very, dishonest. Somebody reads and they so much emphasizes. You know, they have a Bible and they read it somewhere in the book of Romans. It is true. One time Paul wrote to the Romans, but I'm not a Roman. I'm not concerned about Paul's letters to the Romans. Let the Romans deal with their letters. If Kate writes a letter to Mark Kiyimba in Uganda, and somebody else is reading my letter, you have invaded me, my friend. So Paul wrote to the Romans. He didn't write to Americans. He didn't write to Ugandans. So such chapters are there. They don't concern us. So I tell them, you have to understand them just exactly the way the things are put up. So it's been a very good pleasure for me to be here this morning and to be part of this fellowship, to part of this congregation, part of this group of open-minded and open people. And probably next time we may have an opportunity to meet and chat, especially when you come to Uganda. Yes. And with those words, I want to say thank you so much for listening to me, and be blessed.